Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Steve Benny, editor and publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. And as always, Steve has shared with us a handful, six actually to be precise, charts that we will be posting below this interview. We're going to get right into it because, well, you were starting off with the relationship between platinum and gold. You have a chart that goes back to 2008, and really what's clear here is the fact that platinum has drastically underperformed gold over this long time frame here. And there are a number of reasons why people are saying platinum is underperforming gold, but overall we talk about gold, how that might be underperforming other sectors, but boy oh boy, platinum really underperformed gold here. Steve, take us through this chart and quite frankly, this pattern that has come into formation in about the last year and a half. What's critical to understand here?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inviting me back, guys. Happy New Year to both of you guys. And I think it's no secret that commodities are undervalued relative to general equities and undervalued relative to almost everything. So that's pretty common knowledge. So what I like to do is drill down and see, okay, commodities are undervalued. Well, what are the most undervalued commodities? And it looks like to me that platinum is probably the most undervalued commodity out there. You know, you can make a case silver could take that spot, but from an industrial metal perspective, platinum certainly is the most undervalued. And you can see that on a ratio basis here when compared to gold and silver, just how undervalued it is. And what's interesting here is the patterns that are forming. We've got some very clear triangle patterns that are forming on these longer term charts. And that doesn't mean they're going to break out, you know, imminently. But, you know, over the next handful of months or quarters, I'm looking for platinum to begin outperforming just about everything out there, at least when it comes to commodities.
Well, Steve, just to that point, and you brought up silver there, you've got another chart you sent us that's the platinum to silver ratio. And that one, even going back to 2004 to present, platinum has really underperformed silver. And a lot of times people think, okay, well, gold's a monetary metal and silver to a lesser degree, but silver is also an industrial metal, just like platinum is. So it's shocking to see the differential here on platinum silver. Walk us through this chart.
It is, because we're so used to saying silver is the most undervalued commodity on the planet. And I still believe that, but looking at this ratio that goes back about 20 years, platinum is actually undervalued even relative to silver. And if that ratio returns to where it was back in 2002 or so, that would mean platinum outperforms silver, even silver by a factor of five. If we return to that ratio, now there's a lot of if statements in there. And I want to highlight that, you know, platinum is more speculative. I think silver, you know, is more of a, nothing's a sure thing, but I think the investment case for silver is stronger on a risk reward basis. But, you know, for speculating, I think platinum offers a really compelling setup right here.
So Steve, does that mean you're taking positions in platinum or platinum explorers or miners right now, even though that world is much smaller when it comes to the stock side, because you see platinum playing catch up to all the other undervalued commodities out there?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So that's a challenge with investing in platinum or gaining exposure is finding quality companies. And there's only a couple that I actually like. And even those, they don't get the majority of their revenue from platinum or even palladium. They're often polymetallic mining companies. So my favorite way to get exposure to platinum is just buy the physical. That's the short answer.
Well, Steve, you also included a platinum versus commodities chart. So, you know, before we move on from platinum, it just makes sense to look at that one. That's also very telling. What's your outlook on platinum versus the rest of the commodity sector?
Yeah, and like I said in the beginning, you can compare, you know, we know commodities are undervalued. Well, when you look at platinum versus a basket of commodities, and this is measured by the DBC ETF, which is just a basket of commodities, you see this bullish descending wedge pattern forming just above support. And more often than not, these patterns break out to the upside. And it's just another chart showing the compelling setup here for platinum.
And I guess all commodities, if you want to make that argument that they're all undervalued compared to especially where the financial assets or U.S. markets are, because you shared a couple other charts with us. We'll start off with gold compared to the Dow going back to 1980, the whole way up to now. We see that pretty fast underperformance, I guess, for gold the whole way into this, into 2000, and then a rebound nicely, and then this sell-off again. It looks like you see a bottom forming here in that recent multi-year sell-off when you compare gold to the Dow. It looks like you're thinking gold will start to play some catch-up here. Is that a now type of thing?
Yeah, so this is a super long-term chart. This goes back to 1980 or so. And the point of this chart is to highlight, one, the cyclical nature of gold. It has quick runs up, but you know, over the long term, it's not meant to outperform stocks, but there are brief periods where it does. And I think we're going to enter one of those periods in the coming years, and probably sooner rather than later. And what this chart shows, again, it's long term, so we're not talking imminent here, imminent moves. But you know, over the next year or two, I think gold is going to begin to outperform general equities. And that's what we need to see, because that's what's going to attract the generalist investors, the institutional capital, into our sector when gold begins to outperform general equities. And what's interesting on the chart, the ratio chart here, is we're sitting just above a nice confluence of support. You've got this nice little arc pattern forming, or I should say big arc pattern forming, because it's a 10-year arc. And then you've got trend line support. So we're sitting just above a nice confluence. And yeah, I do think gold's going to begin to outperform.
Well, just on that same tip, we're looking at another chart here that you sent over. That's silver versus the Dow. And it's not the same kind of pattern. It's more of a compression triangle. But it does look like it's getting to a tipping point or an area where silver may actually start making a move on the general equities. What's your outlook for the silver Dow chart?
Yeah, that triangle pattern looks like it's going to resolve here in the next month or two. So, you know, my bias is to the upside. I think silver is going to begin to outperform. However, if it fails, breaks to the downside, you know, you've got trend line support down below. And that would just mean that, you know, we may have to wait a little bit longer for the silver and gold bull market to resume the uptrend.
Well, Steve, I just have a quick follow-up on that. And that is, on a macro level, with the Fed getting ready to hike rates in the spring, and a lot of people are moving that up further and further, either to March or May, somewhere in that area. Do you think that could be the pivot point where gold and silver finally do start gaining on the general equities, and where the equities maybe slow down or maybe even pull back some while the precious metals get a bid?
I do. I think it's a common misnomer that rate hikes are bad for gold. If you go back to December of 2015, that was the first time the Fed had raised rates in several years. And that literally marked the low for gold, a multi-year low, to within a few days. And I think we could see something very similar this time. And the reason, I think, is because the metals markets, especially gold, are very forward-looking. And the rate hikes are being priced in now. They've been being priced in for the last few months. So when it actually happens, I think it's going to be, you know, sell the news by the rumor event.
One thing to also consider, too, is that it also depends on how quickly the Fed and other central banks switch course, too, and stop hiking rates. That can provide a nice boost to the metals. But when we are talking about the relationship between especially gold and silver to the underlying U.S. equity markets, there are two ways for the commodities to play catch-up. That is, U.S. markets go through a general correction or even a big correction, and the commodities stay relatively stable, or commodities actually appreciate in price. What's more likely here, Steve? Are we going to see that big market drop that a lot of the precious metals bugs are hoping for to draw more interest into the precious metals? Or is it simply going to be a rotation of money into some of these more unloved assets?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I have no doubt there's going to be another market crash, quote unquote. I try to avoid that kind of language because, you know, it's very emotional terms like that, and emotional terms can cause you to make unwise financial decisions. But we're going to see another sharp sell off in general equities. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And trying to time that has been much more difficult than many expect. But you raise a good point. You know, let's say the Dow Jones doubles, but everything else quadruples. Well, did the Dow Jones double, or did it lose half of its value? And that's why I like ratio charts, because we're not measuring things in dollars that way. We're measuring it against other things.
A solid point, Steve. Sometimes the best thing to do is to pit two different asset classes against each other and see which one really is gaining on the other. So to that point, you've included one more chart that we'll throw in the mix here, and that is the copper gold ratio chart. And it looks like copper has made a run against gold to the upside. It's running into a resistance zone. Do you think that means that precious metals may gain on copper moving forward?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting chart, because if you go back to March of 2020, my data goes back to the early 80s. And in that time frame, copper had never been more undervalued relative to gold in March of 2020. That was a record. So it's not surprising to see the springboard effect, and it's outperformed gold by a factor of almost two over the past year or so. But when you zoom out to a longer term chart, it's still undervalued. So if we do see some kind of reflationary boom and infrastructure bills and all this, I could easily see copper outperforming. And I'm very long-term bullish on copper.
So, Steve, when you look at these long-term charts, and there's clearly a disconnect of what's happened in the last maybe two decades compared to what the world was like three, 4 decades ago, mostly because of it really seems like commodities were valued much higher 40 years ago as to how they've been valued over the last 20 to 30 years. When do you have to maybe take the stance that long-term charts, there's been a change here where certain aspects that might have performed well 40 years ago aren't performing as well in the last couple decades?
Well, I think things revert to their mean, and I expect all of these long-term ratios to eventually revert to their mean. You know, these long-term 40-year charts aren't necessarily good like timing indicators for the next weeks or even months, but I think if you've got, you know, a 3 to 5 year time horizon, and you can start to see signs of a reversion to the mean or a reversal in these charts, you know, they're very useful. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of these ratios right now.
Well, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know you're the silver chartist and you're very bullish on silver. I know you cover the uranium miners. I know you cover the gold miners, and you even look at platinum and copper and some of the base metals. Which commodity miners are you most bullish on for 2022?
Well, multiple ways to answer that. So as far as like a valuation perspective, the junior silver miners, for sure. That said, you know, things that are undervalued, being a contrarian, that doesn't mean they're going to turn imminently, although I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I think uranium miners are moving really nicely right now. You know, they're pulling back to a rising 200-day moving average. Those look like they're ready to move in the short term. Silver miners over the next 1 to 3 years, that's my focus right now. Junior silver miners, for sure, over the next 1 to 3 years.
How aggressive are you getting then, Steve? Because again, last year, pretty tough for general commodities investors, except if you're in, let's say, the couple handful of precious metal stocks and uranium stocks that did well, except for the pullback at the end of the year. How aggressive are you right now?
Well, I'm aggressive. I buy on dips, really sharp pullbacks. So that's my favorite time to accumulate. I guess I'm about 15% cash. And what I personally like to do is I set aside 10% of my overall portfolio. I put it in a separate account, and that's my trading account. And whenever I place a trade, I always use a stop loss in that particular account. So when we see these sharp pullbacks, or if you see a kind of a market meltdown event, my stops get triggered, and then that becomes cash. And that's my cash that I'll have available to scoop up really good bargains if that were to happen. So I'm aggressively buying dips on really all the sectors we mentioned: uranium, copper, platinum, and silver.
All right, buy the dip. Same mentality that's been taken for U.S. equity markets, but you know what? You just need to be timed really well in some of these commodities, and hopefully 2022 broadly will be better and, in that sense, easier for investors in these sectors. Steve, it's always great chatting with you. We always appreciate the charts that you send us. We'll be chatting with you in another couple of weeks. So in the meantime, keep up the good work, keep in touch, and have a great rest of your week.
You bet. Thanks, guys.